Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Sports with a Legend. Along my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going out there?
I'm good, man. I'm glad to be back, man. I'm glad to have you back, Mac. And I'm glad, to be back with the loyal fans, of course, this show, Sports with a Legend. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to do a show last week. I was doing my birthday weekend, and I didn't have time to do a show. So, again, I apologize for that. So, we tried to squeeze everything in this week, last week, and hope you guys enjoyed the show. And without further ado, let's talk about the Mets, man. They haven't been doing all that all lately. They got their butts handed to them, to the Nationals, the team that they're chasing. I mean, I lost track how many games we lose. We're trailing them. 11 games. I lost track. 10. I literally lost track because the Nationals are clearly head and shoulders above the Mets right now, or for the past couple of years anyway. Ever since last year. So they've just been whooping the Mets behind, which obviously coincides with Daniel Murphy. So as a result, the Mets lost three out of four because they salvaged today's game, where Jacob DeGrom, he had a brilliant performance, and highlight also obviously on the mound, he was great and. Highlighted most notably, he homered. I mean, congratulations to him. I mean, he hit his first career major league home run against the Nationals. So, I mean, Jacob DeGrom was brilliant. He allowed an unearned run in 8 innings, and he just had a little leaguer game. And, congratulations to him. He was brilliant. Addison Reed, obviously the closer, who's been the closer since, earlier this year, ever since Familia got injured, he pitched, he pitched a scoreless ninth. And Conforto, he had a pair of RBI singles, and he stole a base. And TJ Rivera, he tied his career high with 4 hits. So, congratulations to DeGrom. He snapped the Mets' brutal losing streak. And back to DeGrom, the first time a Met pitcher went deep since Noah Syndergaard hit a home run against the D-backs in August 1st, August 16th, rather. So, and also notably, this is the first time a Met hit a home run in Citi Field since Harvey did it 2 years ago, almost a year ago, almost 2 years ago. It was July 11th of 2015. But, congratulations to Jacob DeGrom. He had a brilliant performance, back-to-back brilliant performances. And, hopefully the Mets can bounce back and, begin, this road trip against the Dodgers on tomorrow night, in Dodger Stadium. So Zach Wheeler is going to be on the mound. Zach Wheeler's pitched well this year, with the exception of his last start, when he only went, he only got 5 outs. So he's going to try to redeem himself, which arguably is his, so far, this is Wheeler's best, best year of his career thus far, obviously missing 2 years due to, numerous of arm surgery is, you know, highlighted by the Tommy John surgery. So Wheeler is, you know, living up to the hype, with the exception of his last start a few days ago. So he's going to go on the mound tomorrow night, Dodger Stadium, and he's going to be opposing Clayton Kershaw, who's, of course, you know, obviously Clayton Kershaw. You know, he's 9-2, 2.3 ERA. I mean, he's going for his third win, and, you know, all I have to say was he's facing Clayton Kershaw, and I didn't even have to give you the stats to back it up, because we all know how dominant Clayton Kershaw is. So they got a tough task if they want to try to win two games in a row, because this season is pretty much dead, in my opinion. And, you know, as you know, Mac, I'm a very optimistic Mets fan, but this season is done. I mean, they've had so many.
Well, you guys haven't played well lately, you know.
Yeah. Well, except for the National Series. The Nationals, man, they whooped up behind 3 out of 4. We salvaged this last game. And, I mean, the Mets have lost so many ugly games. They've lost so many ugly games. You know, the bullpen blows it. They score a lot of runs, but they can't pitch. They pitch, they can't score any runs. It's like, you know, they're a poster child of a bad team. I mean, the injury bug has plagued them. Raise your hands if you know anybody on the Mets team who hasn't been injured yet. I mean, I can't even think off the top of my head of anybody on this team who hasn't been injured yet. So, I mean, this team, this season's lost. I mean, the opera lady already sang already. This season is done. They would need a miracle. It was a miracle that they have actually even made it to the postseason last year. Obviously, they didn't amount to anything because they went toe-to-toe with Madison Bumgarner, and we all know Madison Bumgarner is a Goliath-sized San Francisco Giant. So, you know, we didn't stand a chance against them. So,
yeah,
you know, basically the Mets, ever since Daniel Murphy's gone these past couple of years, you know, the Mets basically they've taken a hit. You know, Daniel Murphy was like their best pure hitter on the team. He wasn't their best power hitter. Obviously, that goes to Cespedes. But Daniel Murphy, man, they lost as bad as he was defensively, you know, at times.
He was an offensive threat.
He was a very good offensive guy. And, you know, he was an MVP candidate last year. Obviously, he didn't win it. But, you know, he's definitely transformed the Nationals team, and we'll see how far the Nationals will go in the postseason, because as we all know, the Nationals, they're a great regular season team, but then in the postseason, you know, they choke, you know, just similar to the Mariners teams of, early 2000s, you know, the Ichiro Suzuki.
Yeah. Ones. Oh yeah. I'm very familiar with those teams.
Yes. I think it's 2001. Stands out to you for some reason. And
oh,
I'm not
yeah.
talking about Luis Gonzalez's bloop hit. I'm talking about how you guys dominated the Mariners, even though they had the best record in the major leagues.
2000 and 2001.
Yeah. Yeah, man, you guys owned them. So, you guys own a lot of teams, but that goes without saying.
But, you know, going back to the Nationals, have the right now they do have the second biggest lead in their division. Right now it's about 10.5 games, so over the Braves and the Mets. So, yeah, I mean, if you guys are going to catch up, I mean, you guys have a lot of ground to make up. So, you guys got to start winning series.
I know. That's the only way they can have some sort of a miracle of ever winning the wild card, because let's face it, they're dead. They're not gonna catch the Nationals. I mean, I wish I was wrong, but it's not gonna happen. Unfortunately, the injury bug has, you know, just destroyed them as it has, you know, throughout Mets history. The injury bug always, you know, claims, you know, mess them up and then cost them, you know, winning a championship. you know, or a playoff run. And this year is no different. You know, the injury bugs have plagued them. People, you know, this pitching staff is not what it's advertised. I mean, they're starting to turn it around a bit, with the exception of the National Series. But, this team, they need a miracle. They need another miracle. They need to be the miracle myth yet again, just for them to make it to the playoff, just like last year.
Yeah. You know, pitching needs to come together. Everything needs to come together for the offense, the defense, the pitching. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cabrera is hurt, and before that, you know, his defense had been at an all-time horrible, all-time low. It's horrible, yeah. Making errors in games, and I don't mean an error. I mean errors in game, at least 2 errors a game, it seems like, lately. And, you know, that's why the fans are hoping that Amado Rosario will get called up, you know, and play short. And unfortunately, Reyes, you know, he wasn't playing well. He hasn't been playing well. Last time I checked, he's batting .184, and that's not even gonna get you. If that was money, it wouldn't get you a ride on the subway right now. So you need to get him together. And you know, the Mets fans also want to see Dominic Smith come up, but for the most part, Duda, he's been doing well. So the fans are not clamoring for Dominic Smith as opposed to Amed Rosario. So we'll see what happens in a few weeks. Amed Rosario will finally get called up and take his rightful spot in the Mets lineup, provide a little jolt. But we'll see what happens in the future. And speaking of, you know, the future of New York, the Yankees, they're having a promising season, but unfortunately for them right now, they've lost 5 straight games. They're playing right now, so they're in jeopardy of losing their 6th game. But what's going on with the Yankees right now?
So right now we're in the bottom half of the 6th inning. Yankees are down 4-3 to the Oakland Athletics. There's a runner on 2nd base with 2 outs. So hopefully we can get out of this inning with no more damage, because this road trip has not been kind to us at all. We lost 2 out of 3 to the Angels in the beginning of this road trip. And, you know, we then lost the first 3 games of the series. So this is the final game. Hopefully we can salvage it and not lose it. You know, I don't want to get swept by the A's, a team that the Yankees usually dominate. But, I mean, it's been a bump in the road, you know, this road trip for us. You know, hopefully we can get this game and go back home and, you know, get back on track. You know, but, you know, it happens to baseball teams over – it's a long season. You're going to have losing streaks like these. You know, the bullpen right now, they're struggling. Tanaka, he hasn't looked like the ace that we thought he would be this year. But, you know, it's there's a few things that we need to get right. And, you know, hopefully this game will help things. But, you know, right now we've been looking bad these last 5 games. Not looking good at all.
Absolutely. But, you know, they need to turn it around. Like you were saying, the Yankees have a lot of success against the Athletics. Trust me, you know, Jeremy Giambi is still having nightmares with that play at the plate. Probably still replaying the play, and in his mind, he thinks he's finally going to be safe.
Yeah, he's still running.
maybe he'll quantum leap into Derek Jeter and miss a throw. But speaking of a team that really needs to be quantum leap, because they're really going through a horrible era, not even a horrible time, a horrible era. And of course, I don't even have to tell you what team this is. We're talking about a different sport. You know what team I'm talking about?
It can't be the Knicks, because this NBA season is over.
I know, but that's what we're talking about. The Knicks. See, we didn't even rehearse this backstage, folks. The Knicks, man, they're the epitome of horrible play. Yeah, you're right. The NBA season is over. The world champions is the Golden State Warriors, and congratulations to them. We're gonna dive right into that in a few seconds. But the NBA draft is coming up, and you know the Knicks are gonna pick eighth, if my memory serves me right.
I think so. Yeah, it is eight.
Yeah. So you know, obviously. You know, there's rumors that they might draft that French guy, Frank, you know, Frank with an N, I can't pronounce the guy's name. But,
Frank,
you know,
Ntilikina?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that. Dressing that five times fast. You know, they're thinking about drafting him, you know, some other players, you know, in the, you know, obviously in college. But, you know, they're going to have the eighth pick. So, you know, Fultz and Ball and all those other guys, Monk, they're going to be taken long before Knicks get a, you know, get a shot at that. Not to mention the Celtics and the 76ers, two teams that hate the Knicks. They're going to swap, they're rumored to swap the pick. Celtics are going to swap their number one pick that they got from the Nets in that brutal trade. What was I going to say? Yeah, another Knicks news, because the draft is Thursday night. The Knicks are thinking about using their stretch provision to release, Carmelo Anthony and, you know, pay him the salary and then spread it out, kind of like Bobby Bonilla's deal with the Mets right now. And just spread it out over the years and make him a free agent if they can.
That's dumb if they do that.
It is the dumb move because, as you all know, folks, that move is there for, like, a guy who is ineffective. Excuse me. Joakim Noah. Excuse me. I'm having these allergies every time I mention about Joakim Noah. But anyway, it would be used on an ineffective player who's making a lot of money or some, you know, someone who's making a lot of money and ineffective or injury-prone. You know what I'm saying? You could use it on that guy because each team has it, but you can only use it once. Knicks didn't use it yet. But with the whole new collective bargaining agreement, they have that. They still have that option because they haven't used it. But if they use this would be a dumb move because this would have been the miracle move that they could use to use on Joakim Noah. And I'm shocked. Before this past year, I would have never thought in a million years that I would think would be a bright move, get rid of Joakim Noah, a guy who epitomizes on paper a Nick player. You know, it's just shocking that he hasn't stayed healthy. Obviously, he was never an offensive threat. And if the Knicks team was doing what they were supposed to do, you could live with Joakim Noah if it wasn't for that massive contract that he's making. You know what I'm saying? Even if you remember back in the days when they made the contract, I'm like, you know, this is a good deal to get Joakim Noah. But that contract is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was like, was it 3 or 4 years, $72 million? I was like, a ridiculous contract. But the Knicks, hopefully they don't use this stretch provision on Melo and they use it on Joakim Noah and try to get somebody to come here. And hopefully this time somebody who's actually good.
Because I don't think it'll be used on Melo. I doubt it'll be used on. I think they'll try to trade Melo. That's if it happens.
Yeah.
But I don't see them using that provision on Melo. Yeah, that'd be dumb if they ever did that.
But that's the rumor that they're gonna use it if they don't if they can't trade him, which would be dumb. Why would you play your hand? That would make nobody want to trade him. If you're reading this move and this is exactly what Phil Jackson is thinking about doing, then this would be a dumb move and people would want to trade. They'd be like, okay, he's going to be a free agent. I don't have to give up nothing. Because all the rumors that we're hearing is that the Knicks are going to willingly get themselves fleeced so they could get rid of Melo, trade him to the Clippers, not get any of the big three coming back to them, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, none of those guys would be coming back to us if they made the trade. Blake Griffin is a free agent, you know, obviously, They're going to try to re-sign them. Chris Paul, I think, is also a free agent also. And obviously they're going to try to re-sign him back. There's rumors that he might get traded to the Celtics, or maybe even the Lakers, you know. But it would be ridiculous if they let just let him go for nothing and just hold on to the 2-year $5.1 million contract. I mean, next year is going to be his walk year, you know, after this coming year. So he's going to be even more valuable, even if he's not productive, because people will just trade that, you know, get that cap space off their team, which would make more sense for them to hold on to him.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think they will hold on to him. I mean, at this point, you know, you're probably not going to be able to trade him, and releasing him, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, just hold on to him for one more year. I mean, come on, you know? The Knicks sound very desperate right now.
They do. But one team that doesn't sound desperate is the Golden State Warriors, man. Congratulations to them. They are back on the throne. They're the ultimate Warriors of basketball yet again.
Yeah, they won me $100.
Yep. So you of all people are proud that the Ultimate Warriors are back. They defeated the then reigning champions Cleveland Cavaliers, who overcame a 3-1 deficit in the last year's NBA Finals. We all know, you know, due to you know, all the stuff surrounding the drama surrounding what's his name? It's keeping me right now. What's his name again? How I forgot his name?
Ooh,
the guy on the Warriors. The guy that
Kevin Durant?
Why is he? No. Obviously, Kevin Durant finally won his championship. So, you know, congratulations to him. No, the guy, Draymond Green.
Oh, Draymond.
You know, he, at suspension, you know, really took the sale out of the Cavs. Rather, the Warriors last year. But this year, the Warriors, man, they were on a run, man. They went 15-1 in the playoffs, blowing out every team. And then the Cavs, they avoided the Warriors' perfect postseason run, which obviously no team has done that, and so far no team will do it again right now. So yeah, the Warriors are back on their throne, and, you know, congratulations to them.
Yeah, congrats. You know, they deserved it. They were the best team all year. They were a super team, as most people are saying. You know, people were saying, they're saying that, oh, Kevin Durant, he took the easy road by joining the Warriors to win a championship. I mean, he did, but, you know, then again, a championship is a championship no matter how you win it, whether you win it on a team that doesn't have many superstars or a team that has a lot of superstars, you know? I don't think it matters. Absolutely. At the end of the day, he was the best player in that series, you know, other than LeBron. And, you know, he helped. Without him, the Warriors probably don't win the championship, if you look at it, you know?
Yeah, because he was the MVP. And
yeah.
This is the song that probably is, you know, haunting LeBron James right now. Well, you'll see what I'm talking about. You know, YouTube. That was perfectly, you know, orchestrated by me, folks. This is what I'm talking about.
Is that Ultimate Warrior song?
Answer your question.
It is.
Yep, that's the song that's haunting LeBron James. Because if you remember last year, he was mocking the Warriors. You know, after they blew that 3-1 deficit that caused the Cavaliers to have their first ever NBA championship, and he at the, you know, at the parade, the celebration, he was wearing an Ultimate Warrior shirt, mocking the Warriors. So what did Draymond Green do? He wore a Quickie shirt, mocking you know the Cavaliers, because you know they were in, you know, they're in the Quicken Loans Arena, and not to mention they beat them up badly. But LeBron James wasn't happy about the dig, which I guess it shows how hypocritical LeBron James was, you know, losing you know, talking smack, and then he can't take it.
Yeah,
but it is what it is.
I mean, you know, it's the Warriors were just a better team, man. You know, all year long, throughout these playoffs, they only lost one game. You know, they went 16-1.
Yep.
The best record in NBA playoff history.
Yep.
They deserved it.
They definitely deserved it, for sure.
Now, you know, Cavs, they might go out there and try to get Paul George, CP3, or Melo. We'll see.
Yeah, CP3. When you said CP3, I was thinking you were going to say CP3. I think he'd be helpful translating the beatdown that you know, they got from the Warriors this year. But, you know, again, congratulations to the Golden State Warriors and Kevin Durant for getting his first ever championship. Yep, I was definitely one of the people who was saying, like, you know, he did take the easy way out, but nevertheless, he is a champion, and he did win NBA MVP, you know, the NBA Finals MVP. So, I mean, he deserved it. It wasn't like, you know, he sat on the pine and didn't do anything, and, you know, the title, you know, he did earn it. So, I didn't like the way, I would have preferred he went on the team that, you know, was, you know, that didn't win the title 2 years ago, but it is what it is. He won the title, just like LeBron James won, you know, the titles in Cleveland and in Miami, the two titles in Miami. So, you know, you got to just tip your hat, even though you don't agree with the message. You know?
Yeah.
But shifting gears, you know, basically, speaking of, you know, not liking the method, Money in the Bank is coming out tonight. And obviously, you know, that the heavyweight match is going to be against Jinder Mahal and, of course, Randy Orton, the rematch. But, yeah, but before that, let's go through the rest of the card. Kickoff match is Hype Bros versus the Colognes. You know, who used to be known as the Los Matadores, Primo and Epico, you know. This match I could see go either way. I guess the Colognes will win. I mean, it really doesn't really matter who wins, because it looks like Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder are going their separate ways after Mojo Rawley won the Andre the Battle, you know, Battle Royale at WrestleMania. So looks like they're going their own way.
I'm gonna go with the Hype Brothers to win this one for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I could see. I mean, it's a pre-match show, so it's not really gonna hurt them either way.
Yeah.
Whoever wins is not really gonna affect, you know, the show much. All right, here's this one, the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. It's never been done before. It's gonna be Charlotte Flair, Natalya, Tamina, Becky Lynch, and Carmella.
Wow.
So, I could see it going on. I mean, for the most part, I could see it going either way. Charlotte's too easy to pick. I don't think Natalya will win it. Tamina, I mean, she'd be a credible person to win it, but I don't see her winning it. Becky Lynch, possibly, but I think they're going to give it to a heel. I think Carmella might shock people and win it.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe Carmella might win it, you know?
Yeah.
But then again, I could see Charlotte Flair winning it.
I know. I agree with you, man. It's like, I know I'm going to be kicking myself because Charlotte Flair always wins. I mean, I should – it's like picking against John Cena. I should. And WWE rarely proves me wrong. I mean, I don't even know what – you know, they never do anything to shock people.
Yeah.
So I know I should be picking Charlotte Flair, but I'm gonna pick Carmella. And besides, Charlotte looks like she's good now. So I think it's gonna be a villain that's gonna win this. So I'm picking Carmella.
Yeah, it's a toss up for me.
Yeah, who you think is Carmella too?
I'm 50-50 between Carmella and Charlotte, but I'd aim strongly towards Charlotte, I guess.
All right. And women's title, Naomi versus Lana. Naomi is gonna win this one. I don't see Lana winning it. She just was training recently to fight. I think this would be her first match too, like her first official singles match, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I can't remember last time she fought, or if she ever fought in the singles match.
Unless she was in an intergender match, but I don't think so. I think this is her first career match. I mean, singles match, so. Yeah, I think Naomi is going to retain it.
Yeah, me too.
Then you got New Day versus the Usos. And with a theme that we're seeing a lot lately in this pick, I could see this going either way too, which I guess this is a good thing for this Money in the Bank pay-per-view event. There's a lot of matches that we could see going either way. It's not as predictable.
I see New Day winning this one.
I think they will get them back on top. I can see Usos winning it and then Usos hanging on to it and then maybe losing it maybe at SummerSlam probably.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll say New Day wins, but I could see it going either way. The Money in the Bank ladder match: Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, and the United States champion, Kevin Owens. I would like to see Shinsuke Nakamura win it or AJ Styles win it. But going with what I was saying, I think Baron Corbin's going to win since he's a villain. They're building him up to be a future champion. So I'm going to pick Baron Corbin to win.
Wow. I think it's a toss-up between AJ Styles and Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with AJ winning it.
Those are great choices. Those are definitely a great choice. Those are definitely the obvious choices, for real. Like, Shinsuke Nakamura would be my number one if I was going with what WWE is trying to make me think. But I think Baron Corbin's gonna win it because they're building this guy up. He was like what the first ever money Andre the Giant Battle Royale winner.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he'll win it. No, actually Cesaro wasn't, but Baron Corbin he won it last year.
I forgot that he even won it last year.
Yeah, he did exactly. That's the point. So this win, if he wins the Money in the Bank, this would put him officially on the title hunt. This would be his official first title hunt. I mean, he did have a title shot, a title match, I think, once, and like in a battle royale kind of thing. But yeah, this would be his. I think he'll win it. The Money in the Bank, and then you have Jinder Mahal, Randy Orton. Randy Orton is in his hometown, St. Louis, Missouri, and you know what this means in WWE: a loss. And Jinder Mahal will retain the title. Normally, logically speaking, Randy Orton in a title match, he'll win. At home, you'd be like, he's at home too. Of course they're going to make him win in his hometown. Make him like a, what, 15-time champion or so? 14-time, 15-time champion? I lost count. But I think WWE is tricking us. I think Jinder Mahal will retain the title yet again. And
I see him retaining it.
Yeah. I think it's too early for them to lose the title. But then again, Bray Wyatt lost the title to Randy Orton at WrestleMania after winning it, like, a month prior to his WrestleMania match. So So
that's true.
I think WWE will let him retain because I think they want to continue building that brand in India. So I think he'll retain the title. What about you?
Yeah, I think Jinder Mahal is going to retain it. I don't see Randy Orton winning it. If he does win it, maybe at SummerSlam if they do another match. But, yeah, I don't see him losing Jinder Mahal losing it after a month of having it.
I totally agree with you. That's basically it, really, because Raw and SmackDown was really horrible. I mean, there's not really much to talk about, really, about it. Hopefully this Monday Night Raw and SmackDown will be good.
Yeah.
So, I want to thank you, Mac, and I want to thank everybody for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
Extra credit. Congratulations to the Pittsburgh Penguins on defeating the Nashville Predators. They won 4 out of 6 games, and congrats to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'll see you guys next week. He's Mac, Macaulay Matthew, and I'm William Ramo. See you guys next week. Peace.